I think heat stress, thermal comfort is something we really need to look into because with the changing climate, again, system, we're moving from conventional housing to group housing and all these underlying cases. I think we basically need to, you know, keep researching and find what are the best ways to keep pigs generally comfortable, ensure sustainability. And so I think this is something we have to keep on doing every day. We don't have to do a certain kind of research and be like, oh, so this is what we found and this is what we're going to work with. I think it's an everyday thing that we have to keep researching and finding better ways just to make sure welfare of pigs is our top priority every day.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Summer challenges finish your pig performance. Digestrum Finish can help. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Hello, and welcome to the SwineIt Podcast Show. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and my guest today is Mary Casamau. Mary is a graduate research assistant at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Welcome to our show, Mary.
Thank you, Tara. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Mary has been a guest on our show in a previous episode with Clayton, and there she talked about nursery welfare, transport, and using ramps and looking at the welfare aspect of that. But today we're going to talk with Mary about her work in thermal comfort and heat stress. So she's currently a PhD student in animal science at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And her research is in animal health, welfare, and precision animal management. So, Mary, University of Nebraska-Lincoln is my alma mater, so glad to have you. And tell us about yourself a little bit more, and then tell us how you got interested in this area of study.
A little bit of my background. I'm originally from Uganda. I was born and raised in Uganda. I did my undergraduate in Uganda. So I got my bachelor's in animal sciences. And after my undergraduate degree, I had a bit of curiosity and I wanted to spread my wings. So I got a chance to come to the United States as an intern, a graduate intern, under an agriculture exchange program. And that is where I got to work with Pipestone system. So I worked as a swine tech with Pipestone, and I worked in a big barn that had about 5,000 cows. And I did a lot of work with farrowing piglets, weaning and breeding and everything. So it was a year-long internship, and I think that is what really sparked my interest, my passion in pigs generally. I mean, I got to be close to them, got to learn so much about them, got to know that they are very intelligent animals, very lovely, very curious, and very clean animals, contrary to what people say. So I think it was at this point that I decided I would love to continue my career in the area of science. So after my internship, I undertook a master's at North Dakota State University. And as Tara mentioned earlier, my areas of research were basically swine production, behavior and welfare. And here I worked on a project that had to do with early life experiences and how these affected transportation of market pigs later on in their life. You can go check out that podcast I recorded with Clayton. A very interesting one. So after that, I am currently at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and I'm doing a PhD in animal sciences. And here my areas of research are animal welfare, animal health, welfare, and precision animal management. Yeah, my work basically has to do with thermal comfort, determining thermal neutral zones of hyperprolific cells. And yeah, basically that what drew me to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln was actually something I always say it's something very, very fun. Not so big, but I feel it's something that really sparked. When I was looking for schools to do my PhD, somebody told me, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln has like the best animal science department. You know why? Because all animals are housed in the building. I was like, I gotta see this. And when I came and then, yeah, there's just animals in the building. I was like, this is cool. So yeah, that is one thing that drew me to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, among others. And that's just a little bit about me.
Yeah, thank you. And I agree. The University of Nebraska-Lincoln has a really neat East Campus with their animal science building and a research facility as well. And it was there when I went through school, so a while ago. But very fun to have it separated and a nice welcoming area and campus.
Absolutely.
Looking to improve the performance of your finisher pigs this summer? Digesterome Finish offers a phytogenic solution that boosts feed digestibility, enhances growth performance, and reduces mortality and morbidity. Trials show that Digesterome Finish can help you achieve a faster, heavier finish and better profitability. Learn more at dsm-firminish.com/finish.
So, Mary, we're going to talk about your work on thermal comfort on the sow side, right? And so just to get to know a little bit more about what the specifics about you're working on in this area, why don't you just tell me about your project and tell me what made you pick this as an area of interest and we'll go from there.
A couple of things. My project basically has to do with thermal comfort and heat stress. And this is mainly in guest-setting group house sows, I should say. Just to piggyback a little with the current Prop 12 standards and everything. So most of the farms in the Midwest are going into group housing, as you know. And with group housing, and again, we know that most of these housing systems are concrete, you know, which is good for, you know, thermal comfort as well. But then with concrete comes some issues, for example, lameness. I mean, concrete being hard and, you know, sows having to stand on it predisposes them to cases such as lameness. So the project basically has to do, the main reason is, how do we manage lameness in group sows, in group housed guest-setting sows? So the first thing that came to mind was rubber mats. I mean, rubber mats, they are soft and they kind of give that base and soft tissue where sows can, you know, stand and be pretty much comfortable and, you know, this would kind of reduce lameness, which is actually good. But then with mats in these pens, we came to find out that, yes, if they are reducing lameness, how are they affecting the thermal comfort, their thermal comfort? So this was basically what, it was more like a secondary thing. Let's compare the thermal comfort of group housed guest-setting sows in rubber mats versus those that are on what? Concrete. So, yeah, I think that is what I have been working on. And to dive further, we looked at, yes, we had two treatments, one being the concrete and one being the rubber mats. And what we did basically, or what we are doing basically, is to just measure the temperatures, the body temperatures of these guest-setting sows. So we use lots of thermal cameras to capture like the infrared images of these sows, and then with the software we can be able to measure their temperatures. And then we also measure the temperature of the flooring. So we measure the temperature of the concrete, and then we also measure the temperatures of the what? Of the rubber mats. And with this, I think we will be able to tell. And why we're doing this is because concrete is a very good conductor of heat, while rubber mats are not a very good conductor of heat. So the reason we're doing this is to compare the differences in temperatures between these two floorings. And with that, I think we can be able to detect, are rubber mats actually good for thermal comfort, or are they causing heat stress in these guest sitting cells? And with that, I think we can be able to, you know, find a way forward to decide on how to go about the fact that rubber mats are reducing lameness, yes, but are they also bringing up other underlying issues, such as heat stress?
It's cold out, so I'm thinking more, you know, more about thermal comfort in terms of, you know, a wet concrete floor. But definitely, you know, in the Midwest, you know, there's and really pretty much where swine are produced in the United States, there's heat stress, right? Because we have hot summers, and so it makes total sense that those mats can become more hot and humid versus you know, a cooler cement floor or concrete floor. So tell me about the mats are positioned, I'm guessing, in the lying area, but tell me a little bit about where you put the mats in terms of the entire floor covered in the mats, or just in their area where they rest, and how many sows in the pens that you're looking at in your project.
The rubber mats are not entirely positioned in the whole pen. They are just in a certain area where the sow is able to lie on them. And then there is also another position where it's just concrete. So we are trying to see in those rubber mat pens, at what point do the sows actually lay on them? And at what point do they actually try to avoid them depending on the temperature of the day? So beyond that, we're also collecting behaviors to kind of see what positions they are laying on. And
I was just curious about the size of the pens. You know, we have different shapes and sizes, right, of group house sows, so small pens and or large pens. So just curious on how many sows in each pen in your study, or maybe you're going to change, maybe have different pens with different amounts.
If I remember correctly, we have about. Did this skip my mind? Well, they're actually very large pens. They should be about 20 sows, between 15 to 20 sows in each pen. I forgot to catch that, but yes, I think between 15 to 20. So they are pretty much large pens.
Yep, absolutely. And so it sounds like you're just getting started on your project. Will it go over the different seasons then, in terms of both winter and summer, as you're collecting your data?
For the larger part of it, it didn't go during the winter, but for the larger part of it was basically in the summer. Again, reason being, we feel rubber mats are more of an issue in the summer compared to the winter or spring, because rubber mats are actually very good during the cold weather, because they are good insulators. You know, they can, you know, help prevent extra heat loss. So, but we feel they were more of a problem during the summer, because that way, if they are like poor conductors of heat, then there is a lot of heat that is going to accumulate with the animals, and that will kind of be an issue, such as heat stress. So mostly concentrating on the summer.
Okay, great. So one question in terms of, you know, the health, et cetera, that we've had in the industry, I know, is using rubber mats. Is it harder to clean the pens? Is it different for hygiene of the pen? In terms of, you know, it's easy to clean concrete flooring, right, with the power washer. What about the cleanliness of the pens? And, you know, is that a problem in your study that you've seen, or a difference?
Absolutely, yes. Like you mentioned, it's easier to clean the concrete floors. Rubber mats, depending on the material or how thick the rubber mat is, sometimes when these pigs excrete, there's a bit of like manure or dung on the rubber mats, and cleaning them gets a little bit hard and disinfecting. I mean, we do try as much, you know, to power wash and make them clean, but I don't think it's entirely as effective as it would be cleaning a concrete floor. Another reason is these rubber mats, being present in the pen makes pigs are very curious animals. So they kind of try to, what is this? Try and, you know, sniff it and move it and end up sometimes destroying it. So, yeah, I think that is among the major challenges rubber mats present in the housing. But like you mentioned, yeah, cleanliness is a bit a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, even after cleaning them, they kind of take some time to dry. So the place is kind of going to be wet and not so nice.
Yeah, you took my next question was sows being curious and have you had problems with them, you know, chewing on them and eating them or trying to move them,
yes,
et cetera.
Absolutely, absolutely. By the end of the study, the mat is not, I mean, the next time you come back to collect your data, the rubber mat is not in the place where you placed it and it's been moved all over the place and a piece of it is moving. So, yeah, like you mentioned, they are pretty curious, and that is, I think, one of the downsides they faced while collecting the data.
So let's talk a little bit about lameness. You mentioned that you're collecting some data on lameness, and how did you do that in your study? And did you do some kind of a scoring system before and after as you enrolled the sows into the study? Let's focus a little on lameness, because there is data that says having rubber mats can reduce lameness. But again, all these challenges that we just talked about, I think the technology hasn't been completely adopted right across the industry in terms of reducing the lameness and using mats in a group system. So how did you measure that lameness?
Yes, I'm going to try as much as I can to explain it, because my work basically concentrated on the thermal comfort, but there was a group that measured lameness, and yes, there was a scoring system they used, and yeah, I think they looked mostly at abscesses. What else did they look at? Yeah, any cases of limping, and yeah, it was mostly basically abscesses and limping. I have to go and look at that again, but yes, there was a scoring system that was used that I'm not very familiar with.
Okay, so it sounds like there was another project that was going on looking at lameness and other maybe students that were collecting some of that data.
Yeah, there was a group, some other person that was like specialized in that area.
Yeah, okay, perfect. And so tell me about, you know, something that surprised you about the study, or maybe that surprised you, when you were working with the pigs in this particular setting. Anything come to mind?
What actually surprised me is pigs, and something I got to learn is pigs are very adaptive animals given the conditions. They will always find a way to survive, whether it's during a very hot day or a very cold day. They will always adjust themselves, whether it's behavior-wise, whether it's posture-wise, as long as they are able to survive. So I say this because looking at their behaviors and that measuring their temperatures and then looking at their behaviors, you're like, this was a very hot day. How did they go about this? And you kind of go back and look at how they were behaving on that very day by looking at the videos, and you're like, okay, that explains why. So pigs are very adaptive animals. I think that's what really surprised me. And that's going to be something interesting I'll have to write about. And yeah, it will kind of be something, an interesting bit in the discussion, how they were able to adapt and change behaviors so as to be able to survive generally.
Yeah, I think so. They're very resilient in terms of their, you know, we definitely are changing, transitioning from stall housing to group housing, and how we do that across the industry, and what we provide for them in terms of, you know, the best housing opportunities. We're learning a lot more about behavior because we're a bit going back to maybe some more of their natural behaviors, right? So, very adaptive. That's a good observation.
Yes.
We're concluding our time together on our podcast with Mary Kasakamu, learning about her work in the area of swine welfare, thermal comfort, and heat stress. If you have comments or questions for our podcast show or for Mary, send those as a comment or message on your listening platform. If you like our show, give us a thumbs up, please. And Mary, before we sign off, tell us some final thoughts or take-homes, or maybe something we didn't talk about in your project.
What I would say is, yes, I think heat stress, thermal comfort is something we really need to look into, because with the changing climate, again, system, we're moving from conventional housing to group housing, and all these underlying cases, I think we basically need to, you know, keep researching and find what are the best ways to keep pigs generally comfortable, ensure sustainability. And so I think this is something we have to keep on doing every day. We don't have to do a certain kind of research and be like, oh, so this is what we found and this is what we're going to work with. I think it's an everyday thing that we have to keep researching and finding better ways just to make sure welfare of pigs is our top priority every day.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the research is research, right? So you keep doing it, you redo it and learn more the next time and make it better, right? And I think you're right on that the welfare of the animal has to be our top priority. They'll perform for us, right, if we provide good welfare.
If we provide good welfare for them, that is totally right.
It's time for our famous three.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. But before I let you go, the hallmark of our SwineNet podcast is to ask our guest a few specific questions to get to know them a little bit better. So, Mary, what's your favorite book or resource that you use in your area of expertise?
My is Google Scholar the right answer? I love reading a lot of previous research papers. So I think Google Scholar is my go-to. I want to see what previous researchers have done, what they found out, and what can we do differently. So Google Scholar, being in my PhD era, I think that is my go-to place.
Yep. And you're not the first guest that have said that. So definitely, peer-reviewed research articles and good scientific studies are the basis, right, of our especially university research. So excellent. How about a book or resource outside of your area of expertise?
So I just finished reading a book that changed my life and perspective. It's called Tuesdays with Morris, with Maury. Yes. So it's a book that I've been reading about life and everything, and it had a beautiful and sad ending, and it got me rethinking, and I've gotten to appreciate life more and take things a little bit easy, you know, not be too hard on life, just take life as simple as it could be. So that is my most recent favorite book. Again, as a PhD student, it's very rare to, you know, get time to read books or resources outside academia, which is sad. But that is a book I've gotten to read, and I am actually glad I did read it.
Excellent. Tuesdays with Murray. So just stop and really take it all in and be appreciative with kind of the slower pace of life, it sounds like. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
So share with us an attribute or characteristic, Mary, that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
An attribute I would say is kindness. I feel as humans, and lucky for me, all the people I've met in my career and academic journey, they have been kind. They have been really, really kind, and I think that is a very good attribute that sets successful people apart from kindness, in that you are ready to, you know, willing to accommodate the person, teach them, and be patient with them, since it's a learning process. I mean, it's very easy to, you know, get frustrated and everything, but that kindness brings a lot of patience, and it's a learning process. But yes, I'm very lucky to say that everybody that I've met in my academic journey, in my career journey, has been very kind. And I think that is something that I have learned and tried to emulate every day.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, out of over 50 guests on my show, you're the first person that's brought up kindness. And I really appreciate it, because there's certainly nothing better than having some kindness, no matter what, you know, what it looks like, right, in your day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. It's very important.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show, learning about Mary Kasamanu's work on sow lameness, sow welfare, comfort, and thermal comfort in a group house setting. Appreciate your time today, and we'll look forward to the results of your research project.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.